Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is We Watch Stuff number 118. I'm Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much. Enjoying the day off. Just finished mowing the lawn. Now relaxing, talking to you about movie shows and star stuff and evil men.
Well, God damn it. All right, fine. Let's just start with Harvey Weinstein, then. A little behind-the-scenes thing. I literally said, you know what we're starting with? And Shahid said, no. And I said, Star Wars. He goes, oh, well, there's all the Harvey Weinstein stuff. So screw it. You got something to say, apparently. I've been keeping tabs on this on the peripheral. Real fast, and you can fill in any details I might have missed. Harvey Weinstein, one of the co-founders of Miramax and then the Weinstein Company, got fired because of a well-known Hollywood secret, which is, I love that contradiction, in which he was harassing, apparently, from what I read, he raped three people, apparently?
At least,
and yeah. Settled with four people, which has caused a lot of actresses to come out and say, yes, I was, you know, harassed by him. I honestly didn't see too many assault claims, but I definitely saw harassment. Apparently there was a story that was about to be published, but Matt Damon and Ben Affleck back in like 2002.
Matt Damon and Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay. They got the story killed, and then he got fired just yesterday. And
now a lot of people have been coming out a lot of stories. You know the funny thing about this? You know how you say it's kind of like a secret, it's not a secret?
Yeah.
Even before we even met each other, I remember, this is a long, long time ago, this is like internet kind of like just began. I remember hearing stuff about this like Gretchen Mol, like when Rounders came up, and they're like, who's this actress? Where did she come from? Because she was like this hot thing, she did a few movies, and then she basically vanished into a Boardwalk Empire. And the whole thing was like, oh, that's one of Harvey's girls and stuff. It's like every couple of years you hear things. Like, you know, you hear people whisper stuff like this. Like, the Gwyneth Paltrow stuff, I know a long time ago. Like, when that first happened, and basically Brad Pitt stepped to him and was like, cut this shit off. And that's how she kind of escaped that, because he tried that with her. Angelina Jolie came out. Asia Argento, the Italian actress, the daughter of Dario Argento, she basically talked about how he basically raped her. And she blamed herself for it. It's like, this is stuff that, like, people kind of talked about. But no one really talked about this whole thing. Because, like, Seth MacFarlane made a joke about the Oscars 2 years ago, and everybody laughed. Like, it's the same, like, everybody knew. Nobody just really kind of, like, came out and was like, yeah, he's doing this. Because this whole thing is, like, unless you have documented proof or somebody's coming on record, you're not trying to get sued.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of friends, like, you know, well, I'm in it, like, that's Harvey, he's cool, and I may be doing the same thing, so it's like, when you got your friends looking out for you, stuff like this happens.
So I'm not going after the people who are coming out and saying that they were assaulted, kind of like the Bill Cosby thing. I'm not going after these people. The one that really pissed me off was Meryl Streep, though. Because, one, she's a gigantic phony. Everybody, you have to be able to figure this out. And did you see her statement about how she worked with him, this long-ass statement and all this? Basically, I read it as somebody trying to get ahead of a story. Like, she knew. Like, uh-oh, I've worked closely with this guy before, and if this was a totally known thing and I knew about it, people are going to come after me, because she is, what? She has to be the queen of Hollywood? The top
more or less, yeah.
So that was one that really annoyed me, though, because she's like, nothing ever happened with me, but, you know, listen, it's like, hey, wait. If you work so closely with this guy and you're so big in Hollywood, which she is, how do you not know if this was a supposed everyone knew, including the board of directors at Disney who bought him, and then also their own company?
I won't defend Meryl Streep, but a lot of people came as like, I didn't know, but I heard enough stuff. Like, Rebecca Hall came out when she first started, and she was like, you know, I didn't know what was going on, But I knew, but something was going on because she was like her agents and people saying, you know, make sure you're not in a room by yourself with them.
Yeah, there's that's a
lot of
up, man.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, and it's kind of like why they like, you know, they wouldn't tell her, but it's like, there's a lot of stories like that where it's like you didn't know, but you knew like, be careful, but no one ever say be careful, and it's like a lot of times people don't necessarily want to know, like this whole, like the stuff with Ben Affleck came out was like, you know. Then he had to apologize some girl because he groped some girl during some interview or something like that. So he had to come out.
Which again was in what 2014 or I'm sorry 2004.
It's like people wonder like how did nobody hear about this? I'm like, are we really that surprised considering like Tiger Woods did all that stuff for all that long and he was Tiger damn Woods and nobody said anything till he got his accident with his wife on like Thanksgiving. And then it's like, oh, he's been doing this for almost 10 years. And that's damn Tiger Woods. That's when the internet was around. It's like, and you know why? I'm glad you brought the Bill Cosby thing, like, kind of indirectly. Because I know a lot of people were saying, well, how come nobody say anything? Or why they didn't do anything? And then Terry Crews was like, something like this happened to me, and I didn't say nothing. And I'm Terry Crews.
Not on such a great scale, but Rob Schneider, you know, is... All joking aside, I know it's Rob Schneider, but he said the same thing that happened to him as well. So
just think about like Terry Crews. You're 6'4", 240 pounds. You're on a red carpet with your wife, and some dude just come up to you and grope you and laugh it off. Like, can you imagine? Like, what's going through a man's mind that thinks he can do something like that and not get murdered? And just the fact that, you know, he basically talked about saying, if my wife wasn't there, I'd be in jail. Because I would have tried to murder him. It's like, you know, you got a career. You can't do it here. Like, even if you're in the right, you know how it's going to come off. And, like, you're starting your career like that. And he was like, it affected him for years. That's Terry damn Crews. So imagine you're, like, some skinny 19-year-old woman. You trying to make your way to Hollywood. And it's like, oh, it's this guy. He's making these movies. He's an indie darling like that. And then that happens. And then everyone blames you about it. And it's like, if you say something, because, like, you know, it's a couple actresses, like, people can put two and two together, like, you know, Mira Sorvino's and people like that, where they had roles, something happens, and then they don't work anymore.
I was going to mention that later, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, there's a lot of women that came out say, you know, I left the film industry. Like, their career was like, you know what, if this is what it takes to make it to Hollywood, and everyone's saying, don't say anything, you're going to make Miramax look bad, we're making a big movie, it's like, then I don't really need to make movies. And it's easy for a woman to say, oh, why didn't she just say something, punch something? I'm like, okay, you do that. He sues you. He has money. You don't. It's his word against her word. Your career is done. He's keep doing what he's doing. Because whenever rapes happen, when it's like somebody famous with money, unfortunately, the first thing that comes out is, well, she's just trying to get paid. Like, not, you know, maybe the guy did is like, well, maybe she's trying to do, maybe she's trying to make a come up and stuff. And that's why women don't come out and say stuff, or women don't report it. Like, if you know society's not on your side, and a lot, and especially if you're young, it's like, you know what, I'm just going to go with the flow. And it's unfortunate people went with the flow for like 20 some, almost 30 years, and now everybody's like, oh, this is so bad. I got daughters. I got a wife. What if that's my wife? And I'm like, you kind of like, you know. You don't know what you're, like, I don't know what you do in your spare time. But if we hung, like, we lived together, hung out in parties like that, if you was doing something sketchy, sooner or later, I would kind of pick up. So it's like, I can see if it's some stranger that interacted with him once or twice and the one thing. If you Matt Damon, you Ben Affleck, you Quentin Tarantino, like, y'all friends, you kind of know what your friend doing. If y'all hanging out like that, it's like, that ain't something you keep a secret. So I call BS and all these dudes that kind of knew, and now they're like, listen, we need to do something about it. You should have been doing something about it.
Yeah, because this isn't something like, I have nothing to equate it to, but this isn't some small thing. I mean, this is sexual abuse, harassment, obviously, because we already said that, but this isn't like just some like laugh it off sort of thing. So it's like, you know, you've always got your friends that do shit you don't like. You're like, you really need to just, all right, I'll kind of overlook this. Like, all right, you know what, 99% of things I do are all right, but there's this one thing that I don't like. This is like the one thing they don't like means, yeah, I don't like you. That should have been the first thing. But then we're also talking in rational terms, which I know is going to be kind of a weird thing to say like that. We're on the outside of this. We're not in that goofy, incestuous... I mean, you hear all the old stories of Hollywood. You hear all the... Well, now we're getting new stories of just how terrible Hollywood really is. And, like, this doesn't surprise me too much. Yeah. The scope, of course, because this isn't a few people. My God, this has turned out to be a lot of women, and then
a lot of famous women and famous powerful people. Like, yep. What kind of balls you gotta be to mess around like Angelina Jolie's John Voight's daughter? Like, you got that much arrogance that you're gonna try to molest and harass her? Like, really? You gonna mess with Gwyneth Paltrow? Like, this isn't just, you know, regular girl from Nebraska. She's trying to make her way up. It's like, oh yeah, her dad's an Oscar-winning actress, and her mom's famous. But I'm gonna do it anyway because I'm a man. Nobody gonna say anything. It's like,
who's Gwyneth Paltrow's dad? I can't remember.
What's his name? Bruce something? What was that Blythe? I know. I think either her dad or her mom's famous. Gwyneth Paltrow. I can't remember which one.
I'm looking.
No, I think it might be her dad.
Bruce Paltrow. Bryce Danner is Blythe Danner and Bruce Paltrow. Blythe Danner sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, Blythe. Okay, yeah. She's been in a bunch of stuff. She was the mom in the Meet the Parents, Meet the Fockers. She's the mom of what was the Terry Polo? Was that the wife's name? Not the other guy. Wow, all of a sudden I lost my train of thought. Who the hell was in Meet the Fockers in that? What was his name? He's not really around anymore.
Come on, the actor?
Yeah.
Ben Stiller?
Thank you. I've got Ben Affleck on the mind.
Okay.
So I kept wanting to say Ben Affleck. I'm like, that ain't Ben Affleck. He ain't in that stuff. Okay. But yeah, so... Yeah, that was the lady that played his mom in the movies.
Yeah, like this stuff, you know, you hear about this stuff with him, you hear about the stuff with Bryan Singer, you hear about all the stuff Corey Haim, like, you know, with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman talking about, you know, all this, it's basically like child pornography going on, like you basically getting passed around. It's like all this stuff kind of happened in Hollywood, and everybody kind of knows, but no one wants to be that one that just blows up the spot, because, like, you know, it's not like you're just going to take down one person. It's like, look at this one. Half the board of directors of Miramax like left even before, you know, Harvey Weinstein got fired. Like, and it's a lot of people saying, you know, I need to come out and say something, not just because I want to look good. It's kind of like, I'm not trying to get dragged down because stuff like this is gonna come out for me. Like, it got to the point where you can't. How, like, the Casey Affleck stuff is kind of like, you know, something that happened. People knew. People didn't talk about it. Then they talked about it again during the Oscars. And it's like, oh, hey, well, you know, boys will be boys. And kept it moving. Like, it's like you talk about all the time. Like, Hollywood's a weird, incestuous place. And it's like everybody knows, but I don't think people care enough.
I think they don't care at all. Until
they have to care. Because the whole thing is like, he didn't get fired because he did it. He got fired because people found out.
Yep.
And it's like, it's the same thing like the Bill Cosby thing. Like, Bill Cosby was doing that stuff for decades. And I remember reading stuff about that. I remember stuff coming out, like, yeah, come out, and then it vanished. And it wasn't a big deal until Hannibal Buress made jokes about it during one of his comedy concerts. And then all of a sudden, it was like, people start coming out, and people were like, hey, whoa, what's this happening? And then, like, everybody paid attention. And then people came out and they were like, well, how come women didn't say anything? So I'm like, women said stuff and y'all don't believe them. It's like the same thing. Like, I laugh at people saying, how come these women didn't come out during all this stuff with Harvey Weinstein? It's like 60-something women came out for Bill Cosby. He ain't served a day in jail. He probably won't. And half the people don't believe any. It's more likely that they would believe all these women are lying and trying to get paid than Bill Cosby being a rapist. And there's like 60 of them. So if this stuff, if all of that happened and we were all around to see that, why are you surprised that these women want to keep their mouth shut with Harvey Weinstein? And that's a rich white man that's like has.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, if Bill Cosby basically skated, like, you know, he can't work again, but he's, you know, he still got his money. He's going to probably live the rest of his life being free. And it's like, they didn't touch him. Why would people think they're going to touch Harvey Weinstein?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just to give scale to some of these things, I'm trying to find the awards this guy's won. Or what movies he's been attached to. I'm not going to name them all, okay? But he started off in 99. The first one that people are really going to know, Madonna, Truth or Dare. He followed it with Reservoir Dogs, then True Romance, Pulp Fiction. I think people would know Il Postino, The Postman. Mm-hmm. Kids, English Patient, Academy Award for Best Picture. Jackie Brown, basically all the Tarantino ones, which, okay.
Goodwill. I'm looking at the same list you're looking at.
I mean, and that's just in 97. And then he was an executive producer on Lord of the Rings, A Fellowship of the Ring, and Return of the King, and I'm guessing...
And Chicago, basically more than likely you've seen at least one of his movies that he had a hand in. And it's kind of like, if you think of any big-time actor, like, everybody's worked with him. Like, and it's a shame where people are saying, you know some people making comments. It's been mostly, like, women and black. Like, Ryan Coogler had to make this big thing saying, like, you know, he didn't know, but he tries to make an effort to have, like, an equal amount of men and women working to avoid stuff like this and, like, protect women. Like, it's people that didn't even do anything wrong that have to come and kind of apologize for him and be like, it ain't me. And they got to do all this heavy lifting, and then everybody else that did stuff was like, oh, well, I don't remember. I didn't know. I wouldn't do anything like that. Like, why would we believe you? It's kind of like, it's a shame where it makes you look like a lot of people, like, sketchy. Like, I'm going to be watching Justice League, and I'll be looking at Ben Affleck with a side eye. Like, we always say you want to separate the art from the artist, is like you want to watch a movie, enjoy the movie. And 90% of the time, I can kind of do that without any issue. But it's like some people, sometimes it's tough. Like even Mel Gibson stuff now, like even when he shows up, it's kind of tough watching because it's like, yeah, he's a good actor and a great director, but it's like, it's just, it doesn't feel right with me. Like, knowing the stuff he said and done, is like, he never really kind of apologized. It's like, oh, well, that was a different time, and I had too much to drink. And I don't want to get to that point where, and I don't like feeling that way, even though I didn't do anything wrong. But I don't want to watch a movie and, like, you know, like, imagine we're watching Justice League come up, and then Batman shows up, and your face just, like, your lip curls. Like, I don't want to do that. I just want to watch the movie. I want to watch the movie and enjoy the movie. If the movie's bad, let me dislike the movie because it's not enjoyable. I don't want to dislike the movie because Ben Affleck's a dickhead. It might be like a sexual predator. Like, that's I shouldn't have to make that choice. And he's making me make that choice, unfortunately.
Okay, so here's part of it. I without getting into, like, all the Ben Affleck, like, filmography and all that, I don't know what, like, the relationship was with this guy. Because the Ben Affleck stuff, and even the Matt Damon, Russell Crowe, all that was years ago. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that you do change. I mean, 15 years ago is a long time. You become a different person. You age, you mature, whatever else. Now, I don't know, like, and like I said, I guess I knew more about this than I expected, but I don't know how closely associated they were with each other anymore. And because remember, Affleck fell apart for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Damon...
Matt Damon
has he ever really had a lull?
Matt Damon is a whole separate thing. Like, I have plenty of reasons not to like him even before this stuff came out. That's why I didn't even bring him up. And the Ben Affleck stuff, it's not just him being friends. It's like, then stuff comes out about what Ben Affleck did. It's like, and then it's kind of like, oh, how many stories you'll come out of, like, you know, your favorite actor might have been sexually assaulting women or harassing women and groping women. It's like, oh, yeah, this happened back in the day, like, you know, 4 years ago. And just people forgot. It's like, oh, now I got to remember again. And, like, I get the whole thing. It's like people change and, like, what's cool back in the day. Like, I don't want to judge somebody young people with old people's standards. So that part I get. But like certain stuff is like, you know when wrong is wrong. Like, it's not like when you 23, you think rape is cool, and now you 37, you like, oh, nah, I mean, it's like the same thing like Mark Wahlberg. With all that trash stuff he did back in the day, it's like when he blinded people and using racial slurs and being like basically a punk. It's like, it was wrong then, and it's wrong now. Like, you know, you don't have to necessarily like judge him, but it's like, it wasn't this whole thing like boys will be boys. I was a boy. I wasn't trying to like get in racial brawls. You know, stuff like that. Like, I was a, like when I was 18 or 19 or something like that, I never thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to grab a chick by the tit and like, hey, you want to come party? It's like, nah, like that's different. And that's like, that's kind of like a, that's a bridge I can't cross and just like chalk it off to, you know, I was younger and didn't know any better.
I guess, I don't know if this would get me in trouble or not, but it's like saying that, I remember, like, and maybe this was just my neighborhood. I remember all the time, like, we used to call it grab ass, and people get mad about it. You know, that's not, now it's assault. And it used to go both ways. It was the guys and the guys and gals both, like, grabbing up on each other and all that kind of good stuff. And now, you know, you get in trouble, whatever else for it. And I'm like, that's just a foreign concept to me. I mean, obviously, when someone's like, would you cut it out? And then you stopped. But I guess maybe that's part of it. People don't.
Yeah, like, I can see though, like, I can see where you're coming from, because it's different where it's people you know, and it's friends or friendly.
You know, that's one thing. Never mind.
And then it's like, if it's, because you play grab ass with a stranger, you might get slugged in the eye. Like, it's different where it's like, you know, especially like a position of power, and that's the big thing.
That's the big thing in this one, yes.
It's like where one person in a position of power, the other person's not, so the other person's feeling where, if I don't do this, my career is over, my life may be over, I'm going to let people down, and it's like a lot, like some of the stuff come out, like he just wore people down, and you get to the point where you keep saying no, 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 whatever, it's 3 minutes, let's get this over with, and it's like that, and that's like, that happens all the damn time, and people just kind of like wrap their head around saying like, why couldn't they do anything? It's like, if you aren't in their shoes, how, like, what do you expect them to do? Like, seriously, like, everybody, like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow was lucky enough to where she dating Brad Pitt, and she had enough confidence where Brad Pitt's going to do something, say something. If she didn't, she might have been in the same boat. And, like, to wrap it up, it was, as recent as, like, when Jennifer Lawrence was doing her thing, when she first came up, this stuff was coming out, where people were saying, was rumored, like, oh, that's one of Harvey's girls. He has a type where they look a certain way. They're normally, like, blonde and willowy, and he's there playing, like, a father figure and gives them roles and stuff like that. And then they either blossom, or if she turns them down, they fall. And I remember people talking about, like, it was basically saying out loud, like, yeah, Jennifer Lawrence basically came up because Harvey Weinstein pulled some strings. And it's the fact that she's won, what, 2 Oscars? 3? Like, she's won at least 2, been nominated how many times? And, like, one of the biggest women actresses and stars in the world. And people basically comment, oh, like, you know, she was Harvey Weinstein's whore. Like, and that's considered, like, oh, that's just how Hollywood is. That's a damn problem. Like, that's a serious problem. Like, imagine if the shoe on the foot is like, oh, well, you know, The Rock came up because, you know, he was just getting passed around by execs. Think about how people would take that.
It's funny because there have been those rumors, and I think, and I know this is a consider the source thing, but with something like this happens, it's like, well, maybe he was telling the truth. Corey Feldman used to bring up that there was a whole ring of, you know, Hollywood guys that would just use, like, the young adult actress, or I don't know, actors and actresses. They'd just use them, almost like a pedophilia ring. And this was just, like, common knowledge. This was a thing in Hollywood. And it makes you want, like, I know you mentioned, like, The Rock, but it's like, well, yeah. I'm not saying The Rock was, obviously, but it's like, who's to say that that didn't happen? Like, where the hell did Jude Law come from? I'm just throwing a name out there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's like these sort of things. All these Australians came to Hollywood all of a sudden. You're like, Well, maybe there is someone turning trick or something. You
yeah,
know?
Like a lot of it is either that, but unfortunately, a lot of it's kind of like, he's a guy, I'm a guy, he looks like me, I knew his cousin. It's kind of like the hookup thing where it's like, oh, we're all friends, I can bring my friends up. Women, unfortunately, can't do that because it's like, it's rare enough for them to get in power to be able to do stuff like that. So it's not like, you know, hook me up. Because, like, who's going to, like, somebody's got to be the top to give you the hookup. And most of the time, women don't get there. So it's like, well, you got to get here, this is what you have to do. And it's, I mean, it's like that in a lot of fields, unfortunately. Like, you hear that. But, like, yeah, it's just funny how this came out and, like, everybody's reaction. And then you wonder how, you know, how deep it is. And a lot of times, people, it's, I think it's a lot of, like, you don't want to know.
Oh, no. Then it, yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's like, it's part of, like, at the point where it's like, because then it's like, oh, well, I don't care if this girl, like, I knew Matt Damon was a dick, so I don't care. What if it was someone like, you know, somebody like, oh, Denzel Washington? Right? It's someone like you
Tom
like.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah, Tom Hanks. Oh, you
those
know,
are
Tom
always
Hanks.
Our two.
Yeah, like, you know, Tom Hanks was the wheel man or something like that. Like, he was Harvey's right-hand man. Oh. Yeah. See that sound you just made? Like, it's kind of like, you don't want to think that, you know, even though they're people and you don't want to be this whole hero thing. It's like, we all grew up with these actors and actresses and we all remember the good feelings they put in us from their art. You don't want to be like, oh, man, like next time, you know, like next time Forrest Gump come on, it's like, oh, he's a dirt ball. Like, I can't even enjoy anymore. Like, you don't want to do that with somebody like that comes off as likable and you like.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's stuff like this happens. And it's like, I'm glad it came out, and I'm glad they brought the hammer down. I'm mad at all these people saying, oh, these women, like, why didn't they do something before? It's like, part of my language, like, fuck you. They wasn't you. It's real easy for someone on the sideline to say that. You didn't have to deal with that like they did. And most of the time, people don't have women's backs. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the positive stuff now.
Yes.
You know, it's probably better we started off with that, just a little warm up. But I don't know where to go, man. I mean, we had over the weekend, we had the Justice League trailer come out. Monday, we had Last Jedi. We got that out. CW shows have restarted. My dad gave me a glowing review of Inhumans. I have not watched The Gifted either, so we can't talk about that. So.
Yeah, I need to catch up on that. I've heard a lot of good things about that show from a lot of people I trust. So,
all right, well, hopefully it's good then.
I mean, everybody that's seen it has said that it's good that I've talked to, and all the stuff I've like from the stuff I've seen online, people kind of said the same thing. Like, it's a real good show, not just good for a comic show. So, yeah, like it's only been two episodes. I take one, I catch the other one on demand, so we can talk about. I guess in what chronological order? The first one would be like Justice League.
Sure, yeah. I told you, like, it's funny just saving this sort of thing for the show because I wanted to talk to you about it. But when I first saw it, frankly, my mom was here and she wouldn't shut up while I was trying to watch it. And so all I had to go was visuals, and I'm like, well, it's kind of all over, but we'll see how it goes. And then I watched it again, and I'm like, there's some cool shit in here, man. And I already wanted to see it. Nothing in this preview dissuaded me from wanting to see it anymore. Or see it any less as well.
Yeah.
So they gave equal time to everybody as well.
Yeah. You know the one thing I took out of this? Jason Momoa is hilarious. Like, that's the one that just keeps sticking out, like, he's playing, and we talk about, he's playing Aquaman like a dude bro from the hood. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the best description of it because it's kind of like he's not talking like a superhero, and he's not talking like, you know, that stilted talk, everything like that. He's talking like a dude on a beach that just happened to have, he's talking like a regular guy.
Which and is it's weird, just weird because he's supposed to be the king of Atlantis.
Yeah, and it's weird where you see this guy, like, looks the way he looks and has those powers, and he's just like, you know, oh, you dressed up like a bat. That's insane. Like, that looks, and it's kind of like, yeah, when you think about it, like, you're a regular person, and you see some dude called Batman, and he has, like, a bat car and a bat plane, and he's dressed like a bat. That does look That's a little kind of strange. Mm-hmm. But it's weird seeing that somebody with superpowers themselves saying that, because you would think they'd be used to that. And, like, he's talking like a normal guy and doing, like, fun stuff. Like, you know, if you had superpowers, it's basically like, you know, if Rob Gronkowski was a superhero, he'd act like he would act like this Aquaman would act. Yeah.
I wonder if, I mean, obviously this is speculation. I'm guessing or wondering if Aquaman's spent so much time trying to hide that this is, like, finally his release, and that's why he's like, yeah, I don't have to worry about being a ruler. I don't have to worry about what it looks like he was getting fish for a fishing village or whatever, that he can just go out and let loose. And the parademons are the perfect foil for that. And I think that's why. But then, yeah, also, that maybe he's like, yeah, there are people like me out here now. You know, Superman probably helped, but, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm wondering if the Batman stuff is like, he's like, if he's like the Flash and goes, you don't have any powers? You dress like a bat? Like, all right, you're insane. But I don't know. It's a totally like, different version of him. So
yeah, and it looks like it's trying, from everything we've read and seen and what people talk about, it looks like it's trying to be fun. And hopefully it's organic fun and not like Suicide Squad fun where we got to put jokes in because Guardians of the Galaxy did it and people complain about Batman versus Superman. Like this one, I trust Joss Whedon more to have more time because he's actually had more time. Like it's different because he did the reshoots and changes and he like picked up halfway on the film. And not like Suicide Squad where the director started his movie and then whatever execs came in threw a bunch of stuff in and did whatever. Like this one is kind of like he's starting somebody else's work and he gets the chance to finish it, and Zack Snyder's like gave him his blessing is because of all the stuff he's going through. It's like we've all been saying, like, I'm hoping it's good. I have no clue. Like it could be, it's just a lot of stuff going on because it's kind of like the whole Batman versus Superman thing. Like at least you don't have to build up Wonder Woman's thing because like she's had her own movie that's been successful and she's had enough time. And Batman's Batman. But then you're throwing in three new heroes, a new villain that, you know, most people have never heard of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Commissioner Gordon, all the stuff that's happening in Themyscira, all the stuff that's happening like Atlantis. Like, you adding basically three new heroes and two universes in, or three universes in, where you got Amazon stuff, water stuff, and cosmic space stuff. In a movie, it's like, that's a lot. That'd be like making the Avengers, like, after you made Iron Man 2, and you didn't make Thor Captain America. Like, you asking a whole lot, and it's like, good luck is all I have to say.
I'm trying to figure out, and this is part of the nice part of the preview, is does the stuff in Themyscira take place, like, modern time? Or is that in the past? Or, like, how are we going to deal with this? Because you're right. You're introducing, I mean, basically land, sea, and air. And then you got to bring back Superman, spoilers, which I still wonder if he doesn't come back till the very end. And they don't explain it. And they just leave that as, like, the cliffhanger. Because unless this movie is 3 hours long, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of things to go over. I mean, I know they've already introduced, you know, Wonder Woman's, you know, I almost said planet, island, whatever. So, you know, you can get away with that. But I'm not sure how much they're going to show of Atlantis, if anything. But you got to show him that he's from somewhere, right? Or you just mention it and go, hey, come see my movie next year. Which is fine as well. So, I don't know. I'm more curious than anything because you're right. Joss Whedon's had a long time on this movie to put like his stamp on it, and you know the reshoots, which are going to cost a little bit more because of Henry Cavill's mustache. How silly! But I don't know, man. The Flash looked cool. Cyborg looked better, as much as
better.
I still don't like him. He looked better. So that was kind of a relief, but after seeing how cool John Johns looks on Supergirl, can you imagine what a movie version would be better? More money to put into it? So
yeah, like I'm looking forward to seeing it. So don't get me wrong, yeah. I want to see it. It's just so much stuff that's going around. And at least, like, this one, the stakes aren't as high, and it's funny because Wonder Woman's so successful, because it's kind of like, you know, the pressure is kind of off. But even at the same time, it's like, you want to have back-to-back good things. And then, like, it's easier to build off success than, like, yo-yo and stuff, like, you know, one good, one bad, one good, one bad. It's kind of, because then it's like people kind of skeptical. And I wonder how well this one will do, because Batman vs. Superman Suicide Squad made a lot of money, but they didn't have, like, a lot of critical acclaim. Wonder Woman kind of, like, people didn't think it would make as much money because of those, and it was just a movie theater so long that it ended up making a lot of money. It still didn't make as much as Batman vs. Superman, but the fact that it made as much money as it made is just, like, amazing, because it was, like, it was in a movie theater the whole summer.
Wait, Wonder Woman didn't make as much as Batman Superman?
Domestic it did.
Okay. Not worldwide.
Yeah, like, okay. Not worldwide. And normally, first superhero movies don't do as well worldwide because it's like it's new, and they tend to get money from like sequels and stuff. So it wasn't that thing. It was just the fact that like domestic, Wonder Woman did better than like everything except like Beauty and the Beast, and like superhero movies, it was like number one and number two all time domestic for like a first like superhero movie. Which is, so it's kind of like, they have that goodwill from that. And it's like people, you know, people like Wonder Woman, and they knew Wonder Woman was good. So it's curiosity behind that. And it's like, I think the biggest thing would be, at least it's a 2-week gap between this and Thor. But depending on how well Thor is, how much of that would eat into Justice League's money.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Thor, because I was telling you off air, so far, it's been like a mixed bag, and I thought Thor looked pretty cool, and I thought that would be like everybody else's reaction to it as well, but not so much.
Depends on who you talk to, I always say. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like who, like your friend, like who are your friends and what they like. And then I think the thing with Thor is, Thor's always been that oddball one, where it's kind of like, you know, Captain America's had the most consistent movies as far as like quality. And at this point, it's like their known thing. Iron Man's Iron Man. It's like, even if the movies aren't great, everyone goes to see it because people like Robert Downey Jr. Thor's been the eyeball one where it's like, I mean, quality-wise, the first one was good, would be kind of, I don't know if good is overrating it. Like, it was decent, but it wasn't like you have to see it. The second one was, ugh. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just plain. Like, you could skip that one, not be anything. And I think the fact that, one, it has that reputation, and then it's like this one, I mean, let's be honest, like, it's weird for stuff, like, it's weird in a good way, and I think if you like Guardians of the Galaxy, you'd probably like this one, but if you like Guardians of the Galaxy and you didn't, but did you think about Thor, it's like, Thor wouldn't, you think Thor is just so, the way the first two Thor movies are, you wouldn't think it would fit, like, a Guardians of the Galaxy type vibe, but knowing if you knew how Thor was in the comics for a long time, it definitely fits because the whole concept of Thor is weird. And I don't know. It's like that whole 1980s nostalgia thing is like, if you like it, it's great. But if you don't, or you grew up in like a different age, it's like, what kind of goofy shit is this?
Well, did you watch Stranger Things?
I have not seen that yet.
Okay, I got 2 episodes left. It's worth watching, nice and short. 8 episodes, and they're all, some of it's pretty annoying, but there's, like, the whole side story with the sister is just worthless, but, unless it pays off, which it hasn't so far. But anyways, they do a lot of that. It's basically E.T. E.T. with a bunch of other goofy shit going on. And they use, like, the 80s music, because it takes place in the 80s, like, the 80s vibe, all that stuff. So, it's actually, I'm not sure if it was on purpose or not, but using that like 80s vibe is actually going to work out in their favor in this case. Because Stranger Things is pretty popular, and it's actually coming back out at the end of October, I believe.
Yeah.
So you're going to have that whole vibe going, so, you know, I mean, and what else can you do with Thor?
I mean, it's,
make it goofy.
Yeah, and the fact is, it's kind of like, Guardians of the Galaxy does this space and cosmic stuff. Thor is in Thor is in space and making him doing Earth stuff gets kind of old. It's like, do space stuff. Like, it fits Thor. It fits Thor. And it's like, if you're going to do it, and I've noticed, like, Marvel movies have been embracing weirdo shit. Like, Doctor Strange definitely Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, they're not afraid of, like, going out there and, like, really going out there. And it's like, if you're going to do it, do it. People always say, I want to see bright stuff, bright colors, vivid scenes. Like, I want a comic book that looks like real life. Not everything, like, muted gray and blue. Like, you want it to be realistic. Ain't nothing realistic about Thor, so don't even bother. Like, if you fight in a giant wolf and a fire god, go all the way out. Yeah, if it's a pink laser gun, then damn it, give me a pink laser gun. Give me a goofy helmet. Like, go all the way out and, like, play it straight and have fun with it. Because people like fun if you do it right.
Yeah, and the idea that people want things to be, like, the idea of making superheroes realistic is kind of stupid. And I know they tried it with Batman, and to a certain degree it worked, but, I mean, there's a reason, like, comic books are fantasy. It's not supposed to be grounded in reality. You know, and I know Marvel kind of tries to do it with their stuff, but it's way better when you just let it go. And I think that's why I like Guardians of the Galaxy so much. Besides being, like, you know, it's basically a space movie, you know, which kid in the 70s, growing up in the 80s, you know.
It's Marvel Star Wars, basically.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's like... Marvel, like, Star Wars, like, we'll get to Star Wars, but it's like, Star Wars was fun when it didn't try to explain everything, it just did it. It's like, everything don't need explanations. It's kind of like, Batman, you could try to ground it, because it's like, he doesn't have any powers, and, I mean, you can get to a certain point, like, yeah, it can make sense in this military stuff and R&D, and then they still do dress up like a bat. Like, but is this a guy? It ain't no way you can make Thor realistic. It's a guy, it's an alien pretending to be a Norse god with a magic hammer that can control lightning. Yeah, how, what you gonna explain, like, oh, well, you know, he has mitochondria that can do blah, like, no. As soon as you try to make a scientific explanation, you're gonna sound stupid. So, don't even bother. Go all the way out. And from all the reviews I've heard, it's kind of like, you know, it's been like, it's one of those, it's a great enclosed story, great soundtrack, kind of weird, but fun. So, well, you know, it's like, and they've all had the same vibe. And I'm thinking, like, it's going to be one of those movies where people are going to be surprised, and then, like, word of mouth is going to help that out. Like, oh, this is actually fun. Cause it's going to, like, and I look at it like the first Guardians of the Galaxy. No one had no clue that movie was going to do as well as it did. Like, just think about it. Because even then, it's like, okay, it's a space movie. It doesn't have any links to anything else Marvel's done. And it's based on a comic book that most people never heard of. I have, and it's from a director that most people never heard of, and look how enjoyable that ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
Like now the cat's out the bag with, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, but that wasn't no sure thing. It's like, at least Thor, like, people know Thor, and people know the Hulk. So it's like, it's going to be people that see it. And then if it's good, word will spread, and it'll have legs.
And Doctor Strange is in this too, which a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people realize or have picked up on. So, from the script that I saw, or the names in it, he's like a significant part of it. Yeah. So, we'll see. Which is good, because these guys got to start interacting with each other, because, you know, you got Infinity War and all that jazz coming up.
It's coming up pretty soon.
I guess since you mentioned that Guardians of the Galaxy is Star Wars, what did you think, man?
I brought my ticket that night.
Yeah, same here.
And I normally don't buy tickets that early. And actually, it's funny. I brought two tickets. My wife just happened to be off that day, so she can come with me. Oh, and it is funny how that worked out. I didn't even ask her. I just got the tickets. I'll say one thing. It looks gorgeous.
Yes.
Remember how we said the same thing about Rogue One? Like, it's just, you can tell when someone knows how to shoot a movie. And I like stuff like that, like the whole technical aspects. Like, I like movies that look great and sound great, because it's a lot of them don't. Like, it looks beautiful. So it's the first thing I saw. Second, it's kind of like, that whole scene with the one when Kylo Ren's, I guess, at Leia's ship, and they keep cutting back and forth, and you see that. Yeah, that was kind of like, you know, like, it's funny you don't get a lot, you normally don't get tension from a trailer, but I think just because one is Star Wars and two is Carrie Fisher and everything, and it's kind of like, yeah, that was kind of like tension, like, what's going to happen? Like, you know how they do trailer, like, you know, just because they film something doesn't mean it's going to work out that way, or maybe like two different scenes. That one is, you wonder, like, he's not going to blow up his mom, is he?
Well, I thought they said she didn't die in this, but they did more shooting, so it kind of makes sense. And also, it's funny you're talking about how it looks gorgeous, this and this. And over the Sunday, since I was avoiding watching college football highlights, we were watching The Phantom Menace. No, I'm sorry, not Phantom Menace. I will never watch that movie again. What is that? Attack of the Clones. We saw the very end of that. And then Revenge of the Sith. We watched the whole thing. One, those movies don't hold up at all. The graphics are so antiquated that it just they don't hold up. And then I think that's why, you know, Force Awakens and all that stood out so much, because they went back to using real places. They filmed stuff on set. Rogue One, all that was on set. I mean, obviously, you know, or I'm sorry, on location. You know, obviously some wasn't. But it makes a difference. And I think that's why the other Star Wars movies, yes, they look dated, but they hold up, I think, way better than the prequels.
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up, because TBS was showing, I was watching Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and Return of Jedi, and they age a lot better than the prequel ones, because it's like, it's real. It's like, that's why people do practical stuff, because like, practical always looks practical. Like, you know, when you jump off a truck, you really jumping off a truck. Like, it always looks better, because it's like, your eyes can kind of relate to it, and it has like weight and stuff. When you're doing like CGI, unless you're like top notch, it never ages well, because it's just like the nature of it. It's like, practical always ages well, because it's like, everyone walks, everyone talks, everyone jumps, everyone throws a punch. When you do all the computer stuff, is like, stuff that might look good back in the day doesn't look like, that's why I like, kind of like, the Matrix ages a lot better than Matrix Reloaded, because even though Matrix Reloaded came out later, like, Matrix Reloaded, like special effects at the time was groundbreaking. Yeah. Now it looked like a PS2 game. It's like, you watch some of that stuff, it's like, this looks ugly, but it's like, it's just, you got to work with the technology you have. And that's why directors tend to try to, like, the ones that can do practical. And the other funny thing I saw, I don't know what's those, Porgs, I guess the name of the alien. I saw that, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a cute alien that kids will love, and all these grouchy ass adults.
Oh, that thing again? Hey, yeah.
Uh-huh. Because I can see it now, like, oh, because it's funny where people don't like cute stuff in Star Wars. Like, they just want everything to be all, like, yeah, I'll take my space wizards, but we got to be serious. Like, come on. Like, because I remember when the, what's the ball droid name was?
That's
BB-8.
What I was about to say. Okay, yeah. They made sure you know he's still in the movie.
And I remember when they first came, and everybody was like, oh, what's this thing, and everything like that. No complaints went out the window when the movie came out, and then it was like, I got to buy this for my son. And I think that's the biggest disconnect now, is people, depending on your age range, look at these movies differently than we do. Because it's like, for a lot of people, this is their original. This is their, you know, New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
This is their first Star Wars. So they're going to look at it with, like, different eyes. It's like, oh, this is cool. This is awesome. This is fun. If you are jaded, you're like, this is just like Empire Strikes Back with black people. Like, it's like, you don't, it's hard when you have all this cynicism and you bring it in something like this. And I don't tell people how to feel, because it's like, if they want to feel that way, they're adults. But I'm watching this show, I'm like, I can't wait to see this. Like, it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. It looks dark as hell. Like, that scene with Finn fighting Phasma, I was like, that's a gorgeous ass scene. Like, I want to see that damn fight. Like, not even knowing the context behind it or how they got there, it's like, I want to see that.
And I think a big thing with the preview or trailer, whatever you want to say, I get the feeling that is a lot of misdirection. Mm-hmm. because they want you to think that Rey went to Kylo Ren. They want you to think that, you know, Kylo Ren's got heart, that he's actually, like, you know, he's worried about the whole killing his mom thing. But and that's one of the things from watching the prequels over the weekend was, one of the things was the Jedi had to let go of, to be a real Jedi, you had to let go of everything you loved. Anything mm-hmm. that, you know, whatever, however you want to look at it. And to me, that seems to be what that is, because he already got rid of his dad, and now it looks like he's going to bump his mom off, which is some dark shit, mind you. But then you got Snoke, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you got Snoke, who clearly has Rey in his power, so you wonder, is she talking to him? Is she talking to Rey? Is she talking to Luke? So,
and then you hear all the stuff Luke saying, like, you know, he's kind of giving Rey he's giving Rey a side eye, like, she got a whole lot of power, and this might kind of end badly. Because it's funny where I was watching Empire Strikes Back, and Yoda was making this big deal about, you know, Luke's too old, he's too emotional. You saw how his daddy was when we made this mistake before. It's like Luke's older than his daddy. Like, it's too much, you know, he's got too many connections, stuff like that. This ain't going to end well. And it's funny where I was watching that and thinking about that, and it resonated more because of, one, if you've seen the first prequels, and then, two, the way they built up Rey. Because, like, you know, she's this sand orphan. She got a lot of emotional anger like that. She kind of starting the training late. And, like, imagine if you, Luke, like, you know, you've been through this yourself. You know what your daddy went through. You saw what Kylo Ren went through. And, like, now you got this little girl that might be more powerful than all of them just showing up, like, train me. I'm like, I don't know. Like, maybe not. Maybe why won't you learn to do something else, kid? Like, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder, who is he talking about? Because he saw that power in one other person. Now, he wasn't around for his dad, and his dad wasn't as powerful as he should have been because, you know, getting his arms cut off and legs and all that stuff.
I don't know if he's talking about
Is he talking about Kylo Ren?
Yeah, because Kylo Ren is like, I think people tend to forget how strong he was in Force Awakens. Like, he's stopping laser beams in midair and just holding it while having conversations doing other stuff. And, like, that first scene went on the sand planet, and it was just like a turbo blast to stop.
Yeah.
And he just stops it, and he's just talking. Like, he's reading minds and just, like, he's doing stuff that you didn't see in the other movies, and it's like, you tend to forget how strong, because, like, Luke didn't really do a whole, like, you know, he guided a torpedo, he might have made a jump here and there, but it wasn't like, it's funny how the Force power has always been where you don't know what they can really do, because they can do stuff, but they're not doing, like, magic stuff. They're not doing, like, the video game stuff or, like, comic stuff, like Darth Vader's bringing down, you know, like, X-Wings and stuff like that. They basically made him like Magneto in the comic books. Like, on the show, it's like, okay, some of them can jump, they can change people's mind, they can move stuff. Like, Yoda was a big deal because he lifted the X-Wing out the swamp. But beyond that, it's like, what can they do? And it's always been kind of fuzzy with that. So, the fact Luke's kind of looking like that, like, you know, she's super powerful, like Luke, no power, like Luke's powerful, and everybody made a big deal saying about how powerful Luke is. So I guess we'll find out. It's a lot of stuff is like, you know, because I don't remember if I saw Benicio del Toro's character.
No,
he popped up, and I see Laura Dern's character is like, you know, the other new girl that they signed that's working with Ray, with Finn and Poe. Like, you barely saw Poe. It's like, it's a lot of stuff. It's funny, they showed a lot of stuff, but a lot of stuff you didn't see, and you still have no idea. Like, you can get it. It's the same thing like Force Awakens. You get a general idea, but you don't know what's really going on. But you know you want to see. You want to find out.
So, on to our next one, because, I mean, what else are we going to say about a 2-minute trailer that we covered for 10 minutes? mm-hmm. The CW show started. The Arrowverse is what we like to call it. Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow. Arrow Now is not until Thursday, which
that's
I
correct.
Forgot about until I remembered to watch it, and then just went,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because Riverdale and Dynasty are on Wednesdays.
Okay. Do you understand how funny it was? We were watching TV. We were watching something, and they put a commercial for Dynasty on. And my mom goes, what is that? I go, oh no, that's another show where they have these like really plastic young kids with like no real emotion that take over, and you know it won't last but a year. She goes, oh my god, is it a continuation? I was like, no, this is a reimagining. Yeah. So
you know what's funny though, I would say that 9 times out of 10, like I don't know how good Dynasty will be, but I love Riverdale. Like I'm looking forward to, like I'm amazed by how much I enjoy that show. Like you know, people have, like made a joke like, oh, it's Twin Peaks with pretty people. Yeah, like that's as good as this. It's not as weird as Twin Peaks, but it's a weird ass show with like pretty people, and it works. Like it's funny where out of the seat, like that's the non-Arrowverse show I'm looking forward to, and I'm glad I got the day off. I remember to set my DVR to that. So the Dynasty one is just weird because I remember Dynasty when I was a kid, and they were all like grown ups, everything. And it's like you know they were like adults, and now it's like you know a bunch of 22, like I guess a bunch of 22-year-olds playing, like they're 17, and everybody's like you know vaguely ethnic. They all like between 7s and 9s, and just like you know varying degree of quality as far as acting goes. And it's funny where they had 90210.
Yep.
And they had Melrose Place, and what else? It's been like at least three or four. They've done reimagining of, and it's like that's CW's thing. And
Beverly Hills 90210, I believe.
That was the first. They did 90210, and that one lasted a couple seasons. They did Melrose Place. They lasted one season. Had to have been something else. I know I'm missing one, but yeah.
They did do Dallas, but that was a continuation of the Dallas series.
I thought TNT did Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's why I didn't. That's why I didn't count. It's funny, like that's why I didn't bring up Dallas, like because Dallas came to mind. I'm like, no, TNT did that one. But it's like, yeah. So anyway, the CW. So like, I caught Supergirl, I caught Legends, and I caught Flash. And which one do you want to talk about first? I guess.
Really doesn't matter.
Okay, Supergirl, I guess it was like...
Okay, yeah, start from the beginning, it's fine.
Yeah, she was a dick. It was understandable. Like, she had every right to be, and I like how they called out her shit. Like, okay, enough, like, grow up. Even though it's funny where it's like, that's easy for y'all to say. I had to save the world, I had to kick my boyfriend out, and, you know, like, yeah, I'm just going to be Supergirl and just kick ass. I got time for this other stuff. And everybody was like, okay, I'm like, yeah, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. Life go on. And we here too. Like, you know, cut your shit out. And, like, I'm glad that by the end of the episode, it kind of, like, you know, worked its way out. And it's funny where you see that we always talk about the cast size. It's like now, I don't know, for some reason, like, the Mon-El not being there, the cast is like a perfect fit because like everyone has their roles. I mean, Jimmy still seems like kind of the eyeball out, but it's like everybody else kind of has their roles. Like they do what they do. They all have good chemistry. They all fit together. The plan is seem kind of dumb. I'm like, I didn't get that whole what invisible submarines gonna what they plot what blow up the world or what were they trying to? I didn't get what the end game.
I had no idea what the end game was there, and so. I actually did see some people complaining that they wasted Bloodsport. And I went, are you kidding me? Who cares?
Who the hell is Bloodsport? Yeah. Every time I saw that, I'm like, is Chong Li about to show up? Like, that's his name?
Yeah.
I remember they kept saying it, and I'm like, wait, he's called Bloodsport? Like, that's a character?
That's actually the second or third version of him. The first one was a white supremacist. Yeah.
Do you know how funny, I mean, we both love the movie, but you know how stupid it sounds if your name is Bloodsport? Like, like if your name was Street, like if your name was Street Fight, like, that just sounds dumb. So every time I heard that name, I started laughing, like, wait, that's the character's name? So, and it's funny you brought up Lena Luthor's accent. It's like, yeah, she's always had an accent, and it's like, I don't know if it just stood out more or just noticeable. I remember you hit me up and asked me like that. Like, when she get an accent, I'm like, she's always had it. It's just, I guess it's just more noticeable now because she tries to hide it. Like, she's Irish, so in real life. And it's always, you can tell when people try to hide the accents. Some people can do a great job. Like, everybody's not Hugh Laurie. They can just hide it perfectly. Some of them like Charlie Hunnam, and you try to be American biker from Stockton, and you start sounding like a leprechaun. You know, and like her, like Lena Luthor, like have her be Australian. You know, like Earth 2 Alexander Luthor. Like, if you have an accent you can't hide it, it's just distracting. So don't hide it. Just speak how you normally speak.
Yeah. What'd you think about that whole side story with Morgan Edge, who's the boss of Innergang currently in the comics, or part of Innergang, I should say. What'd you think about that whole thing? Him trying to buy Catco and then Lena Luthor buying Catco? Because, I mean, if I remember right, she was, after they did that little subtle moving of the chess pieces, after her and Kara had, like, their talk last season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, wait a minute, how is this supposed to be playing out? But
it's funny where they have a great friendship, but you can see how she doesn't know how that's... It's kind of like you assume that she doesn't know that Kara's Supergirl. And you're thinking, like, when she finds out, she's going to feel a certain way because it's like, you know, you're hiding this and everything, blah, 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 blah. So it's always weird where you don't normally see women being friends and they play up that friendship like a close friendship because they get along well. Like, you know, you can see that chemistry there. Like, people made the jokes like, oh, she need to ditch Mon-El and is dating. Although that would be a CW thing, you know, a Supergirl dating a Luthor, like that would be something like CW would do. I don't know, because that guy, you told me who he was, like, yeah, like I knew I've seen him as something, because he was like, he just screams dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just good at, like, within 2 minutes, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah,
like,
I remember he was General Talbot on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And he's a dickhead. Yep. On that. Yeah, and it's like, it's weird because without the mustache and the hair, it's like, they do not look alike. And once you said that, like, oh, yeah, he's good at playing that because he's a dickhead on S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Did you ever watch Heroes?
No.
Okay, he's the older brother congressman guy on the first season who Tyler kills and then takes his place. But he was a dick on that too. So...
Hey, some people are just good at being dicks. Like, Shea Whigham
pays the bills, and you don't have to blow Harvey Weinstein. So, good for you.
God damn it. So, yeah, so it was like that. And then I guess you got bits and pieces for, like, who the main villain is going to be because the other...
The Thinker. Interesting.
No.
Oh, that was Flash.
Rain.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Rain. Because, like, you know, she's, you know, when her daughter's trapped... And she pushes the beam off and everything, and she just has this look. And then she had the same dream that Kara had at the beginning. It's like, you know, I guess they're going to do a slow build where you got this dickhead industrialist doing this stuff while Rain figures out who she is. And then, you know, well, at least it'd be the, you know, it's not the first time they had a woman. It'd be like the third season in a row where they had a woman being the main villain. So kudos to that. But it'd be like, you know, dark version of Supergirl. Like, how would Supergirl turn out if she had, you know, a more hostile growing up environment?
Yep. And I don't know. I like the episode. I disagree with you, though. I would have rather seen this play out a little bit longer with her being upset. But seeing how they said it's been, what, how many months or whatever that he's been gone, then I was like, yeah, okay. After a while, I complained that she was whiny. Then I can't sit here and say that I need her to keep it
yeah.
going.
And like, Supergirl, what stands out about Supergirl is that she's fun. And, like, I know Legends around, but it's kind of like, I need some fun because, like, you ain't getting it from Arrow. And no. Flash spent last season being all mopey as hell anyway, so...
Well, good time to talk about it, though. What'd you think, man? I was digging it for a while, but at the same time, I'm like, well, they're kind of rushing this one, too. But you got to get... You have to get Barry back quick.
Yeah, you can't have Flash without the Flash, as much as people want to say that and everything. Yeah. And I will say I like how they were at the beginning because, like, one, Iris has something to do besides being kidnapped. And that definitely helped. I like the vibe that Wally and Cisco had. Like, it's different. Like, you know, it's like Cisco doing team stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like Caitlin having an edge but not being necessarily evil because, like, you know, Caitlin's not being like a wallflower or being walked over, even though it's kind of like she was all dodgy. It's like, oh, you're back. It's like, oh, yeah, I am. And no one ever said, well, like, how you doing? Like, oh, don't worry about that. And then, of course, you see the end is like, oh, she ain't really back. She just kind of hiding it. Mm-hmm. But seeing that, like, the whole, it's good seeing Team Flash be a team.
Yes.
And so that's because that what made season one great. Like, you know, they were a team. They had great chemistry. And it was like fighting the wacko, weirdo villain of the week while Wells was doing this thing. The Barry stuff is just kind of like, I know you got to bring them back and everything. Like, that part didn't bother me. It's like, it's just, hopefully it's more season one Barry than season, you know, season two or season three Barry. It's like, hopefully you're not like, oh, no, Barry got to learn a lesson and everybody else suffer for it. Like, have it be fun. That's why people like season one of Flash. We still haven't seen Wells, like, whatever version of Wells this will be. The thinker at the end is like, I'm always blind when it's like non-Joker, non-Batman villains when it comes to like DC. So I have no reference. Like, I'm glad it's not a speedster. So that part I'll say. I did laugh at this. The whole thing is like, Wally's super fast and he can't beat a Shinobi villain. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, this damn samurai robot's this strong. He got like him and Cisco shook like, oh, you saw what he did? I'm like, okay, he did a shot being with a sword. Y'all acting like it's Darkseid. Like it's a samurai. Like it's a dude that can fly with two swords. And they like, oh, I don't know about this one. Like, y'all fought a psychic gorilla. Y'all can't beat him.
My thing was, why are you taking him so seriously? So this dude that shows up, you're clearly making fun of. Like, oh, look at the Shogun, blah 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 blah. I'm going to level the city if you don't. It's like, oh my God, he's going to level the city.
Because he did one move. It's like, what?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what, how the hell do you know he's going to level the city? What, you guys gone dumb? I mean.
Yeah, that one kind of like, okay, maybe it's something about the character I don't know that they know. But I'm like, y'all fought some kind of people that have, like, you know, when the weather wizard came, I'd be more scared about somebody that can control the damn weather. Like, yeah, I'd worry about him. Not some robot, not some samurai that can fly. Like, yeah. Oh, he had a sword. Oh, look at this guy. He knocks everybody down. Oh, no, we got to get buried. Like,
well, and then like, it was also, we never fought anyone like this before. Well, technically, no, but you fought people way worse.
You fought a shark?
You fought a half-man, half-shark. That's right.
Yeah, like, you fought gorillas. You fought, like, people that can, like, that can grow. Like, you... Like, I would think the person that was teleporting around at the beginning of the episode would be more of an issue than, oh, this guy, he's got a... I'm like, is it Excalibur or something?
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing was just kind of funny because it was like, they were treating him like he's just, oh, he's like Zoom or something. Like, we gotta break the rules to get Barry out or this one guy's going to destroy the city.
Why is he going to destroy the city? Because he said he can.
And look at that sword. He knocked over two cars. Imagine if he used both swords. Like, yeah, that one kind of, like, came out of nowhere. I'm like, they making a big deal out of this guy. And then when Wally's fighting him, I'm like, it's always funny when you're super fast and they just lose in fights like, you know, regular people. Like, Wally got trounced. And, okay. Like, he could, and I'm like, I know Wally, you know, he doesn't have the experience. But he, like, Barry can't even fight. And this whole thing, I know it's like species don't fight and everything, but I'm like, Wally had the skill to just learn Japanese, like it's no big thing, but he don't know how to fight.
That needed to be explained. And
I got skills.
Okay, yeah, see, in the comics, Barry could do that and remember it like for a couple seconds. Bart Allen, Impulse, whatever he read, he would remember. So they kind of took the Impulse stuff because Wally couldn't do that. In the comics. So I was like, okay, just what's wrong with explaining? Like, he can read stuff and just remember it all. Like, oh well, but Wally still sucks. I don't care. It's like, he wasn't as bad last night, but one thing they corrected, but then kind of goes to your thing about they can't beat a robot. One, Barry's been in the Speed Force so long, he soaked up the Speed Force. All right, cool. I'll take that explanation. That's fine. He's supposedly faster than he's ever been, right? He can't catch up to the robot? I know he's dropping windmills, but he can't catch up to it? Like, the way they were talking about how fast he was, he should have been boom, boom, and got that thing in a heartbeat. So, at least they explained it was just a robot, and it's like, whatever. But I liked the episode for the fact that it was actually kind of fun. It had its serious moments, but they finally got back to, oh my god, it's not all doom and gloom. And, you know, instead of stuff lingering on, Iris was like, hey, thank you for believing when I wouldn't. And that's it. No guilt. No, like, beating each other up about, oh my god, I can't believe we did this, and that sort of stuff. So I enjoyed that aspect, and I hope that continues. So, but yeah, poor Tom Felton got written off by saying he went back to England. Why did he go back? No, he just went back to England. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's hanging with Chuck Cunningham.
Yeah, so it's like, all right.
Yeah. So that's that. I guess, you know, sooner or later we'll have Wells show up, whatever version.
Oh, and again, I say this, I think, every time. Jesse Martin is such a good actor. I hate him. He actually pulls, like, an emotional response out of me whenever something goes on that show. I mean,
it's like having a cheat code.
Yes. It's like, all right, we need some gravity. Just write a scene with Joe West, and everything will be fine. Like, God, I'm at work. Like, man, this is good. He got heavy all of a sudden.
Yeah, Weepy Joe. Like, if he drop a tear, it's a wrap. It's like, yeah, that's the one thing about, I'll say that, like, on all the shows, have it to an extent, but especially Flash, is like, it helps when you have Jesse Martin there. Cause, like, Jesse Martin is a very good actor. Like, he's like punching way above, you know, the rest of them as far as that goes. And whenever you need something, like, okay, we need to have, and it doesn't come off as cheesy. It doesn't come off as like mopey or anything like that. It just comes off and it works. Like, damn it, he did it again. So, yeah, it never fails. Like kudos to having that. But speaking of fun, probably my second favorite CW like comic show, Legend of Tomorrow. I laughed way too much at the beginning when Sarah's there working at, like, Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, okay. And I like how they explain it, because, like, you're thinking, okay, she's this master assassin, and that's the best she can do. And the guy's like, you should be happy I gave you a job. You've been declared dead twice. Yeah. It is like, he's got a point. Like, it's funny, because I was thinking about, how would you explain that? And it's like, yeah, because imagine if you was, like, checking it, like, okay. Like, what's her work experience? Like, yeah, I was a teenager, died, League of Assassins, died. I know how to do Microsoft Excel when I'm flying this time ship. It's like, how would she get a job in real life? Like, she doesn't have a lot of work experience, and it's not like she could use a lot of references. So, it's funny thinking about, like, that's realistic when you kind of think about it. But just the whole one, I like how zany it is and how they just go with the flow and just have fun. And they don't even try to play it as anything but have fun. Two, I love that Marcus Crassus from Spartacus played Caesar.
Thank you. I was so happy you recognized him, too. Because he didn't play Caesar on Spartacus. Who the hell was he?
He was like Caesar's boss, basically. He was like the main villain the last season.
Yeah.
Like, because Caesar was on the season too, and they played Caesar, like, you know, this on the come up, like this ruffian that's trying to get his name and everything. So, yeah, it's funny, like, seeing, like, you know, we always talk about how all these Spartacus actors just get jobs, and just having him play that, like, knowing who he was on Spartacus and just having him show up. And he didn't even do that much, but, like, it's funny where he played it straight. Like, you know, I'm a dickhead, but I'm charismatic. And this, he was on there about maybe 5-10 minutes. And fun, the little speech he had to, like, the dude bros on the beach was just hilarious, because they're getting into it. It's like, I don't know what this is, but I'm having fun. This guy can talk. The speech he had with Sarah, you know, first is like, I'd rather land on my sword and lose to a girl. And then seeing that she can fight is like, you know, you're trying to find out what to do and motivation and, like, you know, you don't have, you know, conviction, but if you roll with me, we could take Rome together. And it's like, you know, is it working? Is she listening and everything? Because it's like, he's very, they played him like, you know, he's very charismatic, and it's like, you can see yourself following someone like that.
And then she was like, luckily I don't need you. And I'm like, Yeah, but he made a good point. I mean,
yeah, she thought about that, and I just like the little like dynamics, like, you know, Mick being Mick. Now, of course, he'd be the one to find Caesar. Like, you know, he's on the beach. They're talking about, oh, yeah, we found him with like petty larcenies and STDs. It's like,
I love the fact that he just calls. He's drunk, and she just starts burping on the phone. And she's like, "Hey, Mick."
Like, who else would it be? Yeah, like,
but,
you know,
he's your friend that has, you know, 99% of things you like, but the one thing you don't. I mean, maybe in his case, it started at 75%, but one, I wasn't aware they didn't write off the woman in
Vixen.
Yes, thank you. They didn't write her off, correct?
No.
All right, because I know she was at the end, but it isn't. I guess I didn't know if that was just like a, hey, we didn't forget about her, here she is, sort of thing. So, did they change her power, or does she just understand how to wield it better now? Because that's not how it works in the comics.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like she's, like, elevated her power, because before it's like, you know, she get the power, it's still her, you see the shadow. Now it's like, because I saw the end, it's like, she couldn't do that last season. I'm like, that's new. And you see her now, like, is she evil? Is she kind of like Storm was before Storm joined the X-Men? Like, I'm going to take care of whatever business I need to take care of. Like, there's no mercy in my heart type thing. And I like how they play off, you know, like, when he went, what's his name? Went on the date, and the girl looked just like her.
Yes.
Yeah. And had the name was close and looked close, like, you know. And it was like, that was just, it was funny because I didn't realize where she was at. And like, I'm like, wait.
I thought they recast her.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, too. Because, oh, yeah, I got a date going on. I'm like, okay. And then it's like, you see her like, wait a second. That ain't her.
Yeah.
And then you put two and two together. And then seeing Rip is like corporate Rip Hunter. Like, and the one is like
Men in Black.
Yeah, and like at first it's kind of like, he seemed like, you know, an asshole. Like, real hostile.
He is, and, though. That's the one thing in the comics that they changed. He is an asshole in the comics. So,
but then you realize, like, you know, for them, it's been a blink of the eye. For him, it's been 5 years. So, you know, 5 years, things change. And I was like, I just like Legends because it's like everybody knows their roles. Everybody's like, they're having a fun time. They like playing fast and loose with history and just like mixing mad stuff. And I just like the dynamic. Like, even, and I like the stuff with Jax. And Stein, because it's like, you know, almost reverse. Like, because remember, it started off with, you know, Stein just hijacking Jax. It's like, I want to have fun.
No. You're making that too easy. He date raped him, basically. He gave him roofies to get him on the ship.
Yeah, because I'm old, and I want to have one last adventure and everything, and I want to have fun. And I'm just dragging you here, like, because I might die soon. And it was kind of like, I'm glad that they remembered that and they brought that up and they played in a way. And it's just funny how, you know, because now Stein is kind of like, you know, I'm about to be a granddad and everything like that. And Jax is the one where I had all this fun. And I mean, I'm going to be I'm working Pet Boys for the rest of my life. It's like, I like how it's kind of like, if you didn't have anything, because it's kind of like, all of, like, Ray Palmer, like, you one of the richest men in the world, and now you're working on apps. You know, like, Sarah Lance, you was this world-class assassin, and you working at a department store. Like, it's kind of like, all that whole thing. Imagine you were doing all this fun stuff, and you was doing all this hero stuff, and now you don't, you just doing normal people stuff. It's like, it would drive you crazy. Like, could you imagine if Bruce Wayne didn't have money, like, oh, 45-year-old Bruce Wayne working at Google?
Yeah,
like that would just seem so, and I think that's every mom, like how Logan just hit me, because like that's Wolverine, he's driving a limo. Like, it's just, you don't see when your superheroes aren't superheroes, and it's always funny when they do that, and it's like to see them do normal stuff and struggling and do normal stuff, it would be a struggle. And I like how they played it off as a struggle, and I'm definitely looking forward to this season. I think they got more episodes than last year, and Legends is fun. And
what you sent me right before we started the show, I'm guessing, I don't know what they're going to do here. Who is it? Robbie Amell played Ronnie Raymond, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They introduced Jason Roush, and a separate episode on Flash, and he was just some nerd kid. I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do because I don't have his name in front of me. The gentleman playing Professor Stein.
Victor Garber.
That's funny. I wouldn't have seen him as a Victor. He's leaving to go back on Broadway for Hello, Dolly. And it's like,
I mean, he's busy. Like, you know what's funny?
Fuck musicals.
I mean, but he works a lot. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised he was on Legends. Because, like, he showed up on Power. Like, he's a villain on that show. Like, and he pops up with, like, you know, 3-4 episodes a season. And I'm like, so he's definitely... Like, he's like, it's funny where you don't think about, you know, like, what would they be doing if they don't have these shows? Like, a lot of them are working.
Yeah.
They got other, like, they got other stuff going. Like, you know, the other half of Firestorm did movies first before he did Flash and Legend of Tomorrow. Like, you know, Katie Lotz did movies. Dominic Purcell was always popping up on Netflix doing stuff. So, yeah, they said they knew in advance. So they're going to, like, I guess they had a way of filming it to, like, have it, like, you know, organically happen. And, you know, I guess I think it's curious to see how they'll handle it. And they don't know, like, if they'll be back next season. So, yeah, that's another thing. It's kind of like, how do you handle when someone leaves? At least they had time to kind of, like, know he's leaving. So it's like you can plan it and make it organic. Not like, you know, one episode he's there. And then one episode, you know, he went back home to help raise the grandson.
That's what I'm hoping they do, but it wouldn't make any sense. It's almost like they have to kill him off.
Or have him get wounded. It's like, you know, we got to find somebody else to, you know, merge with you so you don't die. Yeah.
But didn't they have, like, there was actually something, like, special, that the reason that they could, right?
And that's I know they talk about how they meet once a week because they have to merge at least once a week for them to be stable. So I'm wondering if that will come into play later on.
You don't think they use his daughter? I mean, she's pregnant, so I can't imagine.
Well, you know, she ain't always going to be pregnant.
Well,
that would be kind of a dick move. He's raising. She has the daughter leaves become a hero, and he's raising the baby. It's kind of like, I mean, that's progressive, I guess, but it's like, yeah, that looks kind of dickish. See you later, honey. I'm going to go be a hero. Like, yeah.
I'm just reading, like, who it is. There was somebody named Michael Eric. New Firestorm was Ronald Raymond and a Russian, Mikhail Arkadin. But controlled by the disembodied amnesiac mind of... Okay, never mind. So, anyways, don't worry about it. So, there's only been, like, two different versions of Firestorm. And one is Ronald Raymond and Stein, and the other is Jason Roush. But then they did a whole bunch of goofy shit when they brought him back, and it was like, ugh. We're just going to ignore all that. So,
You will find out.
I'm sad to see him go because it's nice having, kind of like with the Jesse Martin thing, it's nice having an adult.
A grown-up.
Yeah. And that's what he was on the show, regardless if the other people are old. I mean...
But he's old. Like, he's older, like... He's been around and been... Like, you know, and it's different because, like, Arrow doesn't need that show because they're all... It's funny where Arrow, they all seem like adults for the most part. Yeah. But the other shows, it's like their kid, like, you know, Supergirl having David was the Harewood, and the Flockhart was like, yeah, they can do the heavy lifting because they're grown-ups, and they've been there, so like everybody else is kind of like 20s and early 30s, and then the same thing with like Flash, and the same thing with like Legends, even though like Dominic Purcell ain't young himself, the way his character is like he just seems like he's young, because like, oh, he's just a screw-up having fun, let's go to the bar type thing, so yeah, like he fits. He seemed like he's around the same age as the rest of them, even though he's probably like maybe 10 years older, at least, because I'm guessing he's probably in his 40s, and I know the rest of them are like in their 20s to 30s. Victor Garber's a grown-up, like he's been around the block. So, yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, how this goes out. I know Damian Dark is supposed to come back this season.
Okay.
But like a different version. I'm not sure if Captain Cold will be there.
Yeah, they already left that cat out.
Yeah. So, and it's just funny, like, what version that'll be. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to those. And unfortunately, we got to wait one more day for Arrow, because I'm definitely curious to see how that plays.
Yeah, and there better be a damn good reason for everybody on the cast to come out alive. Because from, you know, it's solicitations and, you know, hype packages, whatever else, you've seen almost everybody.
We found a cave.
Yeah, oh, that quick, huh? Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a way to, I mean, you know, people going to bitch no matter how they do it. And it's kind of like, because it's like, you know, oh, it's a cheat and everything. It was like, they're not killing off half the cast. Like,
well,
I mean,
they,
you know.
Needed to.
I mean, but who you, I know
Curtis,
people say
later.
Oh. Okay, they're not going to, if it was going to be anybody, it would have been like Curtis, because it ain't going to be Felicity. It ain't, like, imagine if it was like Curtis and Diggle. Like, you know how pissed, like, Curtis fine, people would be fine with. And even if it was like Wild Dog, people would complain. But, like, if it was like Diggle, it's like, what? Like, no. It's like certain people you know are hands off. They're not going to do Felicity as much as certain people dislike Felicity because they don't like heroes being happy and all that stuff. And that they don't like, they forget that it is still a CW show. And no matter how much comic stuff they do, they still gonna have the CW soapy romance part, and people hate to remind you of that. I'm just glad that one, Slade is gonna be there for multiple episodes. He's a thing. Both Black Canaries are gonna be there, because it's like Katie Cassidy, she's a regular. She's not like a guest star, a special guest star. Like, she's part of the cast. And it's weird where you normally don't have like villains that aren't the main villain as a series regular. Like, when you think about it.
Wait, what are you talking about? Are you talking about Katie Cassidy?
Yeah, because she's playing. Because normally, like, think about all the comic shows. When they have a villain, if it's the main villain, they're going to be there the whole season. Then, yeah, they're part, like, they're, like, because, like, how Prometheus, like, he was a regular, and he was there, like, every week.
Yeah.
But when it's, like, a side villain, it's kind of like, you know, they'll be there for an arc, they'll be there for a little bit. And, like, she signed on for, like, she's part of the cast. She's a villain. But
I get the feeling she's not staying a villain. I don't know.
It's kind of like, I don't know how she, you already got a Black Canary is a hero, so I don't see how you got two of them being together. Like, I don't know how that works, where it's kind of like, as long as one of them is a hero, she has to be, like, she works better as a villain. Like, she's more comfortable, the character's better, and having her around to start stuff up is kind of like, it's fun, where they need somebody kind of like on their level. Like, you know, and it's funny, like, they kept like the metahuman thing separate from Arrow. It's always been like, we want to keep stuff grounded, and she ain't grounded. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how they play that. I'm just curious to see a lot of stuff, because it's just a lot of open-ended things happen on from last season. And it's like, there's a lot of directions they can go. And then they've been talking about how Ragman may come back. Arsenal, he may come back too. Like, there's been a lot of rumors about that. So,
well, currently he's on American Horror Story. Which he has platinum blonde hair on that.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait, that's the guy that plays Roy, right? Like, okay, that's different. So, and it was funny because on the show, he's a cop, but he's also a gay cop. And I was like, oh, he finally gets to be himself. I was like, that's nice. Good for him. in a smart-ass way, yes, but in another way, it's like, good. So, but, because wasn't, and I was trying to explain to Elise, wasn't he one that, like, some tabloid or somebody tried outing him?
Yeah.
And he just went, yeah, I'm gay. What are you, so? I didn't think this was a secret. And I just admired the way he handled that. He's like, so? All right, I don't think I ever kept it a secret. So, but yeah, so he's on there, so that'd be interesting. I mean, that show's already filmed, so, I mean, so, he doesn't have much to go back to. So.
And the fact that they moved it an hour later, so I wonder if they can, even though Arrow's kind of violent as it is to begin with, it's like, they could definitely ramp it up. You've seen an hour makes a difference. After we saw how S.H.I.E.L.D. was when they moved out, they moved back an hour. It's like, damn. And it wasn't like S.H.I.E.L.D. was a wallflower to begin with. So, and CW will get violent. And I think people tend to forget that. Like, they've had some violent ass shows. Like, I remember Nikita was definitely violent. The 100 can be. And even Riverdale kind of goes dark from here. And they're like, stuff you wouldn't think of CW being like a violent show until you remember some of their shows. Like, yeah, when they want to, they'll go there. And Arrow's always been the most violent one of the four. So we'll see.
And I think that's everything for this one, right? Hey, not bad. So, yeah, so let's just cut it here. We'll cover Arrow, whatever else comes this weekend. And, no, it's not for another 2 weeks, Walking Dead. So, yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. Stunk Randy, all social media. If you want to hear me talk about wrestling, listen to Stunk Randy Audio from last night. It's the show before this on your subscription. So give that a listen. Chris and I go over Hell in a Cell, Raw, SmackDown. Chris's fun weekend to Cobo Hall for wrestling, which, wow. Anyways.
I heard the description. It didn't sound fun.
No. But I did tell him, if Cornette wouldn't have freaked out, spoiler alert for the end of the show, how boring or how awful would your experience have been going to that indie event if all that stuff with Cornette didn't happen? And he goes, oh yeah, no, trust me, I know. So, it was actually good. So give that a try. Listen to us next week, and I'm out of here. Talk to you guys later.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and stop groping women. We are out.
I don't condone that message. So,
all right, we out.